Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CMC Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Rob May, and hope everyone's having a good Tuesday so far. It's 5:30 here on the East Coast in New York, and I'm glad to say joining me for the second half of the finale now is Patricia Murphy of Building Conservation International. Patricia, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, yeah. How's everybody else doing? Yeah.
It's great to have you back on the show. You know, I know that we were talking about in the first half of the show, you know, all the different things that we can really try to do to get the public involved. And, you know, because there's much more to buildings than what we see, I guess, right? I mean, really, you know, if there's something to be said for it, there's no real reason to tear something down when you can always renovate and turn it into something positive.
Yes, that's right. And I think every time you see a building, you know, even if it's just a shell, you can still save it. And I've seen some cases where there was only four walls standing. The roof is gone, the windows were all out, and they saved the four walls and built the inside and made a whole new building out of it. I've seen cases where they've done that.
Sure.
And I know buildings in that condition now that could be done to.
Absolutely. And so with Building Conservation International, right? So just fill everybody in on what your mission is. What are you guys all about? What are you trying to do?
Any buildings that are no longer serve their original purpose, you know, the hospitals, universities, or big corporations have, they can utilize the building for other purposes, adaptive reuse. This is what we're really into, adaptive reuse of buildings that are either in danger, have outlived their original use. And a lot of times people leave these buildings empty and they'll just sit there as an eyesore. And too often a lot of these buildings get torn down when they really could be saved because people don't think about alternative uses for them. I know there was in Philadelphia, there was what they called the Chinese Wall many years
right.
ago. This was before my time, but I've seen pictures of it. And a good thing would that be they could have made a high line out of it like they have in New York. They could have been a high line, and they could have actually built buildings on top of it and it would have looked very interesting. And I thought the high line is another example of the great adaptive reuse. They took this railroad train tracks, and instead of tearing them down, they made a walkway out of it. So a lot of people can walk down it, and it's the biggest tourist attraction. And
that's awesome.
They've done this in other places too. And I thought it was a great use of
adaptive
reuse.
Where do you focus your attention on primarily?
Saving buildings from being torn down, and we want people to be aware that these buildings don't have to be torn down. They can always be used for other things. And if people see buildings in their neighborhood or in their city that are empty, they can talk to the community who owns the building, talk to the city people, find out information about these buildings, and maybe a developer can take over and fix them up. And they can get involved, you know, any community.
Right. Sure.
So I think that's a great way of finding out who owns the building, the tax records,
sure.
who owns it. And if they know of a school that's no longer in use, they can contact the city and find another use for it. I've seen schools made into apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen factories made into loft-style apartments. And they're very, very popular.
Is it easy, though, for the general public to get this information that they need?
I think so. All they have to do is go to City Hall or go to the Municipal Services Building and look at the tax records or
right.
find out maybe even the neighbors, the people who live next door, have businesses near these empty buildings, might have information about it. They may have known who was there before, and when they find out who was there before, they can look them up, people that are associated with these former owners. And then they can contact either the owners or and tell them they're interested in buying the building. Or they, a lot of these places like the Archdiocese in the cities, they can find people who are interested in the buildings as they are. Instead of tearing them down, they find out what the purpose is. Like when they sell a building, find out what is the purpose of their buying this building, what do they want to use it for. And whenever people buy buildings, they should make it public knowledge and post notices on the outside of the building what they're doing. And a lot of times they don't do that. When a developer takes over a property, they don't post a notice on the side what they're doing. And a lot of times people see the building torn down and they weren't even aware that it was going to be torn down until after it happened.
Sure.
But I think all these records should be kept public, and the public should have access to all this information.
Now, how do you go about then stopping a developer? Like, if you personally saw, and if you have a particular building in mind that you know of, feel free to cite it. What do you do, though? What is your approach? How do you argue with, or, you know, whatever it is, persuade these people to stop?
Well, we get the whole community involved, you know, the neighbors, the business people, the residents who live there, and we get the whole community involved in wanting to save it. Then we contact the developer, the people who recently bought the building. Then we talk to them and we negotiate with them. We find out what they want to do with the building. If they want to tear it down, and then we talk to them and say about the options about adaptive reuse. We find out what they want to do with it, what's their purpose, what they want to put there. And if it's like a school or something, we can say, and they want to put a residential building there, then we can talk about the possibility of making the school into a residential building, making condominiums into the school, or if it's old factory, the same thing, and let them know that this is the possibility that this building can be made into to suit their purpose. You know, they may have to alter the inside of it. They might have to add on to it. If it's not big enough, they can add on to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also always utilize the building to suit their needs and not take it away. And there's a library not far from where I live. There's an old historic library. It's the Huntington Library. One part of it is an old Victorian building. The other part is a little bit newer, probably from the 1920s. And it's kind of decrepit looking. And I was told by somebody working in the library that they may tear down the one part of it. Maybe the city might put another library there, but I said, well, why doesn't the city renovate the building that's already there and make that into a library? And if they want a bigger building, they can just build a bigger building next to it and make that into the library and include the older building as part of the structure. So they have the two older buildings and the new building too. And you can always expand on something. You can always add on to it.
And so I know that you mentioned a couple of different uses for buildings. And, you know, to me it makes sense. Now, why do you think that people have such a problem with doing that? I mean, is it all about money? Is it just, you know, they don't want to turn it into something, you know, that's more useful to the general public because they know they can turn a profit? Is that kind of what you think the real enemy is?
I think a lot of it is money. They think it's going to be more expensive to fix up an older building, but I don't think it is going to be more expensive. They just think it's going to be more expensive. And a lot of times people get tax breaks for renovating older buildings. They can get a tax break for restoring something that's already there as a potential historic building. So they can get breaks for doing that rather than tearing it down. And I think a lot of people just don't think about using the old building. They just see something entirely different. They don't think about that could be part of their plan. You know, like when you're having a party, you know, you have people coming over and you think of what you want to give them to eat. And somebody says, well, we can give them this, you know, like maybe it might be by might not be able to get a certain drink or a certain meat or something like that. So they think, well, if we can't get that, we can't have the party. And then they say, well, we can get something else instead. And, you know, why not get something else? And they say, well, I didn't think about it. And a lot of times people don't think about alternatives. They have one-track mind a lot of times.
Sure. Absolutely.
And a lot of the times I'd like to talk with these developers in person and with the community and draw out their plans and show them how it would look if the older building was included in the newer project. And this building in Parkchester, I've done that. I drew maps and plans of what it would look like with the old building as part of the new project, and it fits in very well. And the community is happy with the drawings too.
Absolutely. Now, Patricia, with all of this going on, it seems like such a benefit. I mean, and I see the benefits that you're sharing. And you know, clearly there's things that we can do. Now, are there any should people contact local government? I mean, what is the way to do it? And I know you said, you know, you can find out the tax, you know, the tax names and such, but I mean, there's got to be organizations, you know, like yours that you work with, right?
Yeah, there's most cities have a historic preservation business part there. They have a nonprofit with historic preservation or the historic districts council, or they may have some other historic organization, most cities. You just go to talk to them and give them the background information and discuss what they can do to save the building and get the historic preservation people involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the New York City has a historic district council, and they have the land conservancy, landmarks conservancy. So they have two or three different organizations in New York City. Philadelphia has a preservation league. Staten Island has a preservation league, and you got the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And what I do is they have different events with the National Trust for Historic Preservation, like the forum. I go out and I network with other people who have the same idea. I network with investors and developers and other people with different organizations, so I get to know who all these people are involved, and I keep in touch and we communicate and share ideas of what we're doing in our own communities. So the National Trust for Historic Preservation is a good place, too, to contact.
Very cool, very cool. And so where does your reach actually spread throughout? I mean, you know, where do you work primarily in, you know, the tri-state area, or are you national? I mean, what's your kind of reach there?
We're mainly in New York City, but we're all around. You know, we can go all across the country and communicate with people all across the country, even around the world, because I know eventually I would like this to go around the world, because I know people in places like China and Russia and Europe, you know, they have the same problem where people tear things down, and
right.
And a lot of the people want to see them saved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And places in London, France and all that, they do a lot of this too, where they tear things down and build new stuff. So I would like it to become a worldwide cause, not just in the New York City area, but this is why I'm doing this radio program and why I have
Sure.
the website, so people can see it from all around the world.
Absolutely. And while we brought that up, you know, I know the website is, it's still kind of in the works, right? It's buildingconservationinternational.org.
Yes. Yeah, we're still building the website.
Sure. Now, while we're almost, you know, halfway through the final half now of the show, I just want people to know what are the best ways to get in touch with you?
The best way is to email me at bciorg2ny@yahoo.com. It's B like in boy, C like in cat, I like in igloo, O like in orange, R like in rat, G like in girl, the number 2, NY for New York, at yahoo.com. So it's BCIORG and number 2, NY at yahoo.com.
All right, perfect. And now, Patricia, let's kind of move on to a little bit of appreciation for history. Because really, that's what we're talking about, right? I mean, you don't want to tear buildings down for, you know, any other reason. You know, I mean, really, as we've kind of gone over, and like I said, you know, over the course of these this extended series that we've done with you, you know, we've really gotten an understanding of, you know, why it is that you care personally about these buildings, and just in general the appreciation that you have for history. And obviously, you know, we've kind of established at this point that, yeah, a lot of it has to do with money. You know, the people that are going to tear down these old buildings, you know, they think, oh, we're going to put up something new, and, you know, that's it. And, you know, in the same right that we were speaking about the baseball stadiums and different, you know, parks and arenas that we kind of grew up with, that, you know, if one person did it, it's now the norm. It's out with the old and in with the new.
Yeah, and I feel that the older buildings have a quality to them and a charm to them that the newer buildings don't have, and the materials are very good quality materials. Like you see the buildings in ancient Rome and a lot of these other old ancient places like Greece and all these that have been there for hundreds and thousands of years, and they're still there. You know, some of them are kind of crumbled, but they're still there, and you can pretty much see what they look like. The columns are standing and all that. And most of the newer buildings, they'll just fall apart within probably less than 100 years. They'll probably start falling apart. So they don't have the lasting quality. And eventually they'll have to be torn down anyway in the long run. So when you think of the long run, the older buildings are going to last much longer and they're more durable. They'll withstand the weather. I've seen a lot of times where they built new structures and right away, not long after they built them, they started having problems with the roof leaking, the windows not being tight or secure, the materials are poor quality. And so the new buildings don't have the lasting quality. And I've often read and seen on Google that most of this modern architecture and modern things will be gone within 100 years, and nobody would know that they existed. Like if man was to die off, like the human race was to die off, and some aliens came to visit the planet Earth, they wouldn't see any traces of the modern civilization for the last 100 years. There wouldn't be nothing left. It'd be all deteriorated and crumbled. Well, the older ones would still be there. The older buildings from ancient Rome and Greece and Egypt, all them, they'll still be there. So,
and it's interesting that you brought that up, though, with you know, some of the buildings and structures in Europe that we all, you know, that here in America, I think, you know, it's a tourist attraction for us to go to, say, the Colosseum, right? And over here in America, I feel like we don't have that. You know, we certainly don't have those structures that would really stand up to something like the Colosseum, right? Would you agree with me on that?
Pretty much we don't. I mean, we do have some buildings like the Washington Monument. We have the United States Capitol, and they're pretty solid buildings. But a lot of the buildings modern ones after 1970, most of them are not very good materials, and they just throw them up. And I feel that another thing that we're thinking about is the future generations and the families that are growing up. We want the kids to experience the quality and the beauty of it, you know, because we're taking it away from the kids who are growing up in the future generations. We want them to experience and appreciate what we have and what history is about. Because when we're taking away all these buildings, we're taking it away from the next generation. There won't be anything left for them to benefit from or learn from or experience.
Very true.
And even with the neighborhoods, we want the neighborhoods to be safe, and we, you know, something to look forward to, because the old houses and the old buildings in the neighborhood, they were what give the neighborhood the character. And we want it to be attractive to these families with the kids growing up,
mm-hmm.
to live in neighborhoods with that have character, because each city you go to has its own unique quality to it, and a lot of it has to do
right.
with the architecture, the way the houses are built, and the schools, and you can pretty much tell one from city to another by the architecture and what the houses
mm-hmm.
look like. And
of course,
we
want
to preserve
absolutely.
That for the families and the new generation coming along, because we don't want to take away the character of these neighborhoods. You know, you build everything the same and tear everything down and build everything the same. The charm and the quality and the character are gone.
Right.
You know, these neighborhoods and cities have nothing unique about them anymore. We'd like to save something that's unique quality.
We do want to think about the
generation coming along, to save as much as we can, and to educate people into knowing what adaptive reuse is, and preserving history and the story that our country has to show, the story that other countries have to show, that we have a story, and we're taking the story away.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, let me ask you this. Of the places that you've traveled to, you got to tell me some of these buildings, you know, what's your favorite cities? What's your favorite, you know, structures in these cities? Give me some idea.
I love New York City. That was always my favorite city, because
mm-hmm.
it's got so much architecture, and it's got a mixture of parks and different kinds of neighborhoods in the surrounding areas. So New York City was always my favorite area. I also love Los Angeles, California,
mm-hmm.
and I love Chicago, Illinois, and they both remind me of New York City, too. Boston's a great place. So I love big cities. There's a variety of architecture and a lot of history to them. And whenever I travel, that I always go to cities to see what they have and admire the architecture in their neighborhoods.
Sure.
And I don't always go to the regular tourist attractions. I like to visit the surrounding neighborhoods, you know, and see what they're like.
Of course. Absolutely. Do you have any particular, aside from New York City, which I know, you know, you're pretty much based between Philadelphia and New York City, right?
And Washington, D.C.
And D.C.
I go to Washington,
now,
D.C. quite a bit, too.
Do you have any city that you, you know, that you really want to see that you haven't been to yet?
Yeah, there's a couple of them I haven't been to. Let's see. I haven't been to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been to, let's see, near Seattle. There's a city near Seattle.
Sure, like Portland?
Portland, yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
yeah, I mean, I've traveled to Miami before, and Miami is a beautiful city, obviously. You know, aside from being, you know, with the water, you know, the city itself is very nice.
Yeah, New Orleans. I've never been there either. That'd be a nice city to visit, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's good that they restored a lot of it after the Hurricane Katrina.
Say,
that
actually.
They
yeah,
they
that's what
restored
I was
a lot
next.
Of it.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Because right there, I was going to say that right there, New Orleans is a great example of, you know, the opportunity to redo everything, rebuild everything, as opposed to kind of saving what was, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was great that they were able to save a lot of it and rebuild a lot of it and pretty much
mm-hmm.
build it the way it was. And Detroit, I'd like to see Detroit sometime and see that come back to life. And I know people
right.
are starting to go out there and fix things up. I would like to see Detroit be saved and East St. Louis. Because you got
now, Detroit ran into an issue with the market, right? The stock market, obviously. It's over there, there was a huge issue with people maintaining their houses. It was a high foreclosure rate. Now, basically, the housing market crashed there, right?
Yeah, because there was just a high unemployment rate. A lot of the factories
yeah.
and auto industry closed up, so a lot of the industry moved out. But a lot the industry has moved out of a lot of cities, even along the East Coast. A lot of the industry has moved out. And I think they should bring back a lot of this industry. That's what hurt so many cities, because they had no jobs. And that's what happened in Detroit
mm-hmm.
and some others.
Sure. And so, Patricia, now, we are coming down to the last couple minutes of our show and of the series for now. And again, I want to welcome you back anytime, you know, down the road. You know, I hope that, you know, we can get you back on and find out how things are going for you and the organization. Again, I'm with Patricia Murphy of Building Conservation International, based out of New York. But, you know, anybody can get in touch with her and really, you know, take the time to reach out, because if there's a building or if there's a structure or if there's a park, or, I mean, anything that you can think of that, you know, is in need of a voice, you got to take advantage of it. And so Patricia, now, quickly, I want to ask you, what do you hope for the future?
Well, I hope in the future that I do see a lot more action to save buildings and a lot more people saving things and, you know, using adaptive reuse of these buildings. And a lot of these buildings I see empty now will become fixed back up again and utilized. And I would like to see companies like hospitals reuse their buildings, not tear them down, but reuse them. If they no longer have a use for a building, they can find out what do they need a building for and use that building for their new use. Like Harlem Hospital, they have a building that they aren't using so much, the Women's Pavilion. I don't really know what they have in mind, but I think that building can be used for other things, maybe offices or doctor's offices or other kinds of offices they could use the Women's Pavilion for. And other hospitals can do the same thing. And they can always think of adaptive reuse.
Right.
Churches and archdioceses and dioceses around the country, when they have a built property they no longer want, they can find somebody that wants to use it as it is. You know, when they sell it, find out what does the buyer want to use the property for, what do they plan on doing with it. If they want to tear it down, then they shouldn't sell to that person. They want the people to know that they are selling this property to people who want to keep it as it is, the buildings there as it is, but they can build other buildings onto it, add on to it, but as long as they keep the existing buildings intact. Like Mount Manresa, when the developer bought that property from the, they bought it from the Jesuit priests, and rather than tearing everything down, they should have found out what they wanted to do and sold them with the idea that they would keep the buildings and the trees all intact and build the residences and the houses amongst what's already there, which was possible. And the buildings that they were there could have been made into condominiums.
Sure.
So that was
Patricia,
example of adaptive reuse.
Unfortunately, our time is coming to a close. So what I want you to
yes.
do real quick again is tell us the best ways to reach out to you so that everyone can get in touch with you in case, you know, they're interested here.
They can always email me at bciorg2ny@yahoo.com. It's B like in boy, C like in cat, I like in igloo, O like in orange, R like in rat, G like in girl, number 2, NY for New York, @yahoo.com. bciorg2ny@yahoo.com. They can also call me at 718-828-1651.
Perfect. Well,
I'll leave a message in my voicemail.
Absolutely. Patricia, I really appreciate you coming on to the show. I want to thank you for doing this extended series with CMC Radio. And, you know, I hope for all the best for you and good luck to the organization. And like I said, you know, I want everyone out there, you know, to try to check it out, look it up, get in touch with her because, you know, she's doing a good thing here. And, you know, it's not a situation that you can kind of sit back on and then say later, hey, you know, I should have done that because you should have done something. Well,
yeah.
Patricia, thank you again for coming on to the show.
Yeah, and thank you. I'm glad to be able to talk.
Absolutely. Well, from everyone here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye.